My name is Salil Tripathi and I'm here in Jaipur, the central Indian city at the Jaipur Literature Festival, in conversation with Sadaf Sa Siddiqui, who A, is a poet, B, she's a human rights activist, and C, she also works and operates a garment business in Bangladesh, in Dhaka. And over the past few weeks, we've had a few conversations with other people about the treatment of workforce there and the Rana Plaza crisis. So, Sadaf, I want to ask you a question from both perspectives, one as a human rights activist and the other as someone with a stake in the business. What exactly ails the industry? What exactly is the problem here and how it can be fixed?
I mean, I think that one big problem with the industry is that there is a sort of disconnect between the workers or the people who work for the industry and the owners, and then, you know, sort of the greater sort of industry connecting right back to sort of the buyers as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, coming at from a women's activist point of view, I think a lot of the negative things have been stressed about the garments industry, but what hasn't been said is that, you know, what hasn't been emphasized enough is that actually, you know, when Rana Plaza fell down, we met the trade union activists, and the first thing they said was, what can we do to ensure that the buyers don't move away from Bangladesh?
Right.
So, I mean, the issue of this sort of, I think, the wrong idea that all factories alike have dreadful conditions, when actually this is one of the industries that pays the best for women and actually gives the best opportunity for women in terms of, you know, gaining empowerment in real terms. And I think there's been like extensive research done on what
Naila Kabir has done a lot of work.
Naila Kabir, yeah. And so what gives, and they've found out that paid work outside the home and on the top of that is garments work actually gives women sort of more decision-making power for their own individual bodies, in their communities and in their families.
Right. Now, in that kind of a context, given that such a major disaster occurred and so much scrutiny is being placed on the Bangladeshi garment sector, what are the steps you think that the industry can take to reassure buyers abroad and to reassure workers at home that it won't happen again?
I mean, I think, you know, it's a work in progress.
Right.
And I think an enormous amount has been done, actually, before Rana Plaza as well. I mean,
because the Tazreen example was there.
Tazreen, an example. You know, these are horrific examples of a huge industry. I mean, there are over 3,500 factories. And, you know, probably a large amount of factories are regularly audited by third-party international auditing companies, even for many years leading up to Rana Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And since Rana Plaza, life has not been the same. I mean, there have been a lot of initiative taken by individual owners as well as the industry to ensure, you know, monitoring of conditions. And I think that, you know, a lot of sort of boxes were ticked, except when Rana Plaza fell, the idea of, you know, that a building could fall down. So basically that has been added to the sort of checklist, the structure mm-hmm. of the building. And there's been extensive sort of work by factory owners to sort of upgrade factories and have regular audits. And I don't think that information is getting out there enough.
So my question is, the one thing that we are familiar in the West, at least, is the issue of Accord and Alliance, these two initiatives that have come up to deal with that. Are they sufficient? Are they right? Is that the way to go? Or do you think there is a more homegrown solution that might be better in this kind of a context?
I mean, there's been...
Because this is entirely auditing, inspections, and if you don't meet the standard, you're kicked out. Whereas improvement of the standard within can only be done by the Bangladesh industry.
And I mean, I think that, you know, when we sit down and have a better cooperation, when we have, for example, these worker participation committees or so, well, you know, that where it's a sort of step before trade unionism, because I think there's a lot of, on both sides, there's a lot of wariness about trade unionism. I mean, what I'm talking about is how to get better communication between the workers and the owners. I really think that if you talk to anybody absolutely in the industry, if the owners and workers actually sort of are able to communicate, then a lot of things are solved before a lot of other people with vested interests come into the picture. For Accord and Alliance, it's basically a lot of money to pay foreign firms to come and do auditing. And yet a lot of that money could have been spent in actually improving conditions in the factories.
On the ground, indeed.
Because what we're talking about is a lot of factories have many of the basic things in place. But to go to the next step, sort of very fancy fire alarms and factory doors and everything, where you need a huge amount of investment, rather than spending millions for international companies to be, for their auditing bills, because it's just an auditing and monitoring system, which is, again, flawed. And there's a lot of, controversy over the way that's being done, because it's like having an exam without a syllabus. Often they'll come in and they won't share their findings, and then you'll hear about them later, and then it'll be huge in expense to upgrade. Whereas a lot of factories are becoming very safe, even maybe with that without having that much of an investment. But even if we were to have that kind of investment, then it's a waste of time and money, spending that money for these fancy international audit companies, mm-hmm. rather than perhaps using our homegrown engineers, which are extremely good as well. We as owners are also at the bottom of a huge global fashion industry.
Right.
We are absolutely the bottom rung.
Yeah.
And we're squeezed every single day. And I have the real problems of having to run the factory, secure orders, where sometimes our customers and the prices have not changed for 3-4 years, even despite the fact that there's been a 77% hike in salaries.
Right.
So what happens is that...
So your margins are squeezed.
Our margins are completely squeezed. And I've heard of other owners who've had to sort of reduce further their margins because of money that is being used for Accord and Alliance, where their buyers are, having to give to that kitty,
mm-hmm.
and yet they're squeezing the prices. So quite often the customers abroad are, wanting to sort of, be politically correct.
Yeah.
But they're not prepared to sort of budge one inch in financing or giving up any of their margins.
So does Yunus's proposal of a t-shirt tax, I think is the way he put it, that, every t-shirt you buy abroad, you should pay a dollar more or something, which can go towards some of this cost. Is that a way out?
If that money then goes directly to the workers in a proper way, I would be all for it. But we also have to have the real challenge of running an industry and being able to employ as many women as possible.
Absolutely.
On the ground here. Because, if we do shut down a huge amount of factories and just have a few left, then there is no actually... there is no other better option for many women.
And absolutely, and that's a point you made, and which I think is worth stressing and putting it in cold print or in cold sentences here, that one of the great achievements of Bangladesh has been female participation in the labor force.
And it's also, and I think the interesting thing is working outside the home, because it's brought about a huge social change. 25 years to wander around on your own in Dhaka as a woman was unthinkable. Mm-hmm. And because of these amazing women, each and every one of us is safer on the streets, day and night.
Right.
Because, women are now seen everywhere. And it's something that, fathers are marrying their daughters off later, because mm-hmm. they're seeing something positive in this.
Right.
Bachelorettes are sort of taking a house together and living on their own in Dhaka City, which was unthinkable also.
Yep.
So all of these things are bringing different kinds of, ways of...
And it's transformed the society.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Bangladesh has defied all odds as far as sort of social change within a short time. I think it's kind of defied the pundits.
Right. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Sadaf. I know you have a very tough balancing act, because on one hand is, your commitment to human rights, and on the other hand, very real pragmatic concern about the issue, and wish you all the very best for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.